Amen. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to, I think we're going to somewhere. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:57 first, and then we'll do 2 Samuel 3:1. Amen. We're going to talk about joy for a few weeks, and we're going to get some joy. How many want some joy? We're not talking about dishwashing lotion. We're talking about real joy here. Hallelujah, joy. That's right. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then let's go to 2 Samuel 3:1. 2 Samuel 3:1, and then we'll go ahead and do 39 while we're there. "Now there was a long war," everybody say long, "between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker." Everybody say stronger and stronger. And say weaker and weaker. So you got to figure out what house you belong in. Amen. We've got to get in the right house. Everybody say we're going to get in the right house. We don't want to be in the outhouse. We want to be in the in-house. Be in God's house. 39, did we read that one? Okay, "And I am weak today, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Jeruah, are too harsh for me. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." Read that one more time. "And I am weak today, though anointed king." Is that amazing? David says, "I'm weak, but I'm also the anointed king." So we know that those things kind of run together sometimes. We feel like we're weak, but we're anointed. Amen. Amen. We're anointed, but we feel a sense of weakness sometimes. We feel like that there is a weariness of mind that kind of sets in because there's so much that's going on. But there was a long war. Now watch this. There was a long war. Let me give you a little history. Between the house of Saul and between the house of David. And what we find is that when that war is going on, sometimes it feels like it's going on for a long time. That's why we have to learn how to do prayer warfare. We have to learn how to do spirit warfare, spiritual warfare. Now, here's what I want you to see this one. It's one of the things that I want to kind of leave with you. You can endure anything for a short season. But when it goes long, and you feel like you're in the desert, you feel like you're in the wilderness. I think I shared with you a couple of years ago about a friend of mine that called me one day and said, "I feel like I'm in the wilderness." I said, "How long you been there?" He said, 10 years. I said, "It's time to get out. It's time to move out. You've camped in the wilderness too long." So you can endure anything for a short season of time. But how do we overcome life setbacks when we know that we're going through some of those setbacks and hard places? How do you stand? Here it is. Look here. How do you stand firm under pressure? The kind of pressure that we face every single day. And I want you to know this because many are faced with fear and they're faced with dying. You've got a lot of elderly people who are seasoned in years, who are in that place where they are dealing with a set of circumstances that they have never dealt with before. You see a 24-year-old that was dealing with a set of circumstances that she apparently did not have any control over. It just goes to show you that the enemy can come in and absolutely bring you into captivity and imprison you so that you can't get out of a place no matter what kind of help comes your way. So we want to make sure that we understand the difference between the house of David and the house of Saul. The house of Saul is a house of the flesh. The house of David is a house of the Spirit. Can somebody say amen? The house of the Spirit. So the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Say that with me. Got weaker and weaker. And then that's what happens to us when we get weary in our mind. We get weaker and weaker. But the house of David got... Okay, let's do this. The house of Saul got... The house of David got... Okay, help me this morning. So we want to equip you today with a little bit of something here, some of the things that are going to help you move into a season of joy, a season of power, and a season of favor in your life. We're moving toward the end of the 90-day challenge that we've been talking about. But you can be anointed by God, and I've experienced this, and I know you have too. You can be anointed by God and still be weak. You can be anointed by God and still be weak in your flesh. As a matter of fact, you know, the disciples basically were in a place where they couldn't even wait on Jesus in the garden. They couldn't even pray with him for just a few minutes because they were so weak, they were so sleepy, they were so tired. And he goes on to say that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So we know we got to have a willing spirit. And you could be right in the middle of one of the most difficult transitions and places that you have ever been, and you know that you're anointed, but you also feel a sense of weakness concerning something in your life. And it hurts, doesn't it? It bothers you, and you find yourself in that place, and you really don't know how to maybe deal with it. Sometimes it feels like a house of cards. Sometimes it feels like you just can't get past the weariness of mind. But there's a new level, and I want you to really get this. There's a level of revelation that can come in through God's Word. All I have to do is sit down with a word and revelation begins to flow because my mind is geared that way. My spirit is geared that way. So as I sit down and begin to move into the Word of God, there's a level of revelation that begins to move in. Now here's the thing I want you to see, because as you begin to move into next year and as you begin to move into this week and the Christmas season, you've got to understand that revelation knowledge is always stronger than sense knowledge. And if you're living your life by sense knowledge, and that's all the knowledge that you're getting, what comes from the world or what comes through your relationships or what comes from where you are every single day in the marketplace, if you get off every day and you come home and all you've got is sense revelation, the five senses of your life, then you're going to find yourself in a defeated place over and over again. Because I'm telling you, the sense knowledge can't carry you into the place of revelation that God wants to give you. It's a powerful revelation that God wants to bring into your life, and He wants to give it to you, and we're in that season of favor right now. So here's what I want you to see this morning. It's this right here. You got to be a blessing. You got to be strong. You got to be a blessing. Go to Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. And let me help you see this morning, because I want to get something in you that you're going to walk out of here with, and you're going to be so powerful, because we know that when we understand the favor of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, and the joy begins to flow into us, and we've got joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? How many want joy in the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost can bring you joy that you can't get any other way. That revelation knowledge can bring you joy that you can't get any other way. So in Ephesians 1, 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And then 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I think I posted this week, I said, when you pray in Jesus' name, you have access to resources that you know nothing about. And one of my friends, an attorney in Columbus, jumped on and he goes, what did you mean by that? And I go back to Mr. Steve Wallace and I said, Steve, what that means is where it says that God's going to meet your needs, God will supply my need according to His by. I said, so your riches and your blessings and your relationships all come out of that source up there. Everything comes out of that source. But if you don't understand that, you'll let all kinds of stuff come into your life that really doesn't belong there. And the devil will come through those relationships, associations, and he'll come to steal and to kill and to destroy. So you got to know that God, that Jesus has given you life more abundantly. Everybody say more abundantly. God wants you to have that life. So revelation knowledge is different from sense knowledge. Say that with me. Revelation knowledge is different from sense knowledge. Now, we'll tell you this. If you're driving in Houston traffic, or L.A. traffic, or maybe Memphis traffic. You're going to need a little sense knowledge. You're going to need some feel. You're going to need some, is that right, Deborah? You're going to need to be able to feel that car and kind of figure out what they're going to do. We were driving back from Nashville in the rain last night, and I'm telling you, it was crazy. It was crazy. Everybody was in a hurry, including me. But here's what happens. We need some revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge unfolds to you. Now get this, understand this. Gives to you the way God sees you and what God says about you. The way God sees you and what God says about you. So when I get into the Word of God, what I'm really getting into is what God sees about me, but also what He says about me. And man, when I get that identity flowing with my relationship with God, things begin to change. I become a blessing. I become something to people out there that they need me to be. Now, here's a decree I want you to make this week. Here's a decree, and this is a revelation knowledge decree, and I want you to go with me. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Let's do it again. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Let's do it one more time. I want it to get in you. Say it with me. Okay, I want you to do it louder than that. Come on, let's get it. Let's get it. I am. These people have got it over here. Okay, let's get you folks involved in the game. Okay, here it is. Let's do it again. Ready? I am. The first 100 scriptures that I memorized, how do you think I memorized them? Over and over and over and over again. We played games with it. We would quote our scriptures to each other. We would memorize the Word of God. And you got to know that you are what God says you are, that you have what God says you have, and that you can do what God says you can do. You got to know that. You got to believe that. And you got to stake your life on that. You got to stand in that knowledge that God's given us, because the Bible says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen? Is that right? We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But you can have a sentimental view of the cross and Jesus and the Bible. Sentimental. You can wear the crosses. You can tote the Bibles. You can have a picture of Jesus in your living room. And it doesn't mean anything except that it's good. It's a good thing to do, I guess. But I'm telling you right now that that is not revelation knowledge. Here's the question. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you that the stuff that you're going to deal with is going to get so heavy that you're going to need more of Jesus than you've got right now. You know, the wise men brought gold and frankincense and what else? Yeah, they brought more. They did. Gold, frankincense, and yeah, they brought more. They brought myrrh. That's the way you say more in Mississippi, myrrh. Okay. Man, I work hard at these, and I can't get any support, I'm telling you. Okay. All right, you gotta help me more. My wife didn't laugh at that one either, so. Everybody do this right here. That means you're fixing to go, but you don't know what you're going to say right there. That's what that means. But once the eyes of your heart get flooded, wow. Worship changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. A baby changes everything. How many of you know that a baby changes everything? If you ain't had one, you don't know it. But if you're planning on having one, you will know it. All you mamas out there that are young and you can't wait to have that baby, I'm with you. I can't wait for you to have that baby. Talk to Christina. Talking about changing your world. I mean, it changes it for the better, but let me tell you, it is work. It is 24/7. I was watching, you know, we had grandkids all around us yesterday. There was five of them around us yesterday. And I was watching Mom and Dad work. And Kathy and I were just enjoying watching them work, let me tell you. It was wonderful, wonderful. We were getting into this thing, man. I'm sorry, Sherry. I know Sherry's working with her grandkids. But we helped a little bit, Sherry. We helped a little bit. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have a baby in the room. It is something about it. It's just absolutely amazing. So when we think about that song, Mary, did you know? No, she didn't know. She did not. She did not know. Let me tell you, Mary did not know what was about to take place. And go to that passage. Let's look at that. It's in Matthew. Is that right? Matthew 1, 26 through 35. This is off the chain right here. This is good stuff. And, you know, Mary's thinking, an angel going, we want you to have a baby. And she goes, I hadn't even known a man yet. And the angel said, that's all right. Heavenly Father will take care of this. So let's get this one. I want you to read this with me because this is so cool, the way that this is set up. Now, let's read it together. Let's go to, did I give you the right one? Okay, did I have Luke? Go to Luke, I'm sorry, go to Luke. I'm sorry, angel. We're going to go to Luke 1, 26 through 35. It's one of those Gospels. Okay. Luke 1, 26 through 35. You know, the line in that song says, Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Can you imagine that? Did you know that, Mary? Did you? No, she didn't know that. Now, watch this. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Notice we said house of David. House of David. The virgins. Language is there for a reason. The vernacular is there for a reason. It's to be exegeted, but it's there. Everything is there for a reason. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, I bet she was, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And then verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And then verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Let's jump to, is it verse 38? I believe it's 38. And this is the response here in verse 38 from Mary. She says, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Wow. So God wants us to be a blessing. God commands a blessing on us. And I love the favor part of this, because the Lord says, she says to God, she says, let it be to me according, he says, let it be to me according to your faith. And then the angel left her, planted this inside of her, and then walked away. And she had to respond to it through the Word of God. Amen. She had to have a word response. Everybody say a word response. Let it be done to me according to your word. And so all of a sudden, now watch what happens here. Revelation knowledge sets in. She's no longer ruled by sense knowledge in this situation because God is making an appearance to her. A theophany is going on here. God is making an appearance to her through angels, and he's coming to put her in a place where she can conceive and have a baby. And he says that the favor of God is upon you to have this child. So, you know, I would imagine that's pressed beyond measure. You can imagine the thought process that went into that. But, you know, when you find yourself in that place, how do you deal with something like that when God begins to speak to you? Well, you got to be strong. You got to be strong in the Lord. It takes strength to handle a situation like that in your life. And I want to tell you something. It's a brand new season for you. It's a season of God's favor. It's a season of God's wisdom. It's a season of God's future for you. God is ready to do something in your life. God is ready to speak to you. It's a new season, a season of favor for you in your life. You don't have to live in the same quandary of thoughts that you've lived in prior to today. You can step out of that, but you've got to train yourself to do that. You've got to train your heart and train your spirit to really do that. You know, when you think about favor and you think about how it really works, have you ever heard of the law of attraction? You know, when two people get attracted to each other. You know, it's popular today with New Agers and also with secularists, you know, this whole idea of attraction, that they think that it's some kind of cosmic juice, you know, that they take. But what it really is, it's biblical favor. Everybody say biblical favor. And it's the attraction of God to you that releases influence through you so that other people are inclined to do what? To like, trust, or cooperate with you. People that will like you. People that will trust you. People that will cooperate with you in the assignment that God is giving you. And every assignment that God gives you in life, you're going to need people who will like you, people that will trust you, and people that will be in a position to influence you, or you can influence them. That's a place of favor where God puts you. Now, that isn't an earthly thing. What happened with her was not earthly. That was supernatural. Can you say amen? Well, what Mary received there was supernatural. It's a God-given supernatural force that magnetizes you. You just become a magnet. You become a magnet of favor and a magnet to people who God is sending into your life. But you've got to be able to tell the difference between the ones that God is sending and the ones that the devil is sending. Because we want to get ourselves in a place where we can receive the favor of God. Now, what's behind this? What's the backdrop of all of this? The backdrop is that God wants to teach you how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He wants you to move in a spirit of favor and operate from a place. Now, watch this. A place of wanting to bless others. Where you begin to bless everybody that you come in contact with. And this is a season to do it. This is the time that I was listening to Andy Stanley earlier this morning, and he was talking about this. He said a few years ago they got an invite to go to Washington for the big prayer day that they have. They wanted him to lead. And it was really amazing because presidents were going to be there, the Supreme Court justices, all kinds of dignitaries, everybody else was going to be there. And he said, so that when they started trying to, he said, I didn't even have a suit to wear. So he said, I had to go buy a suit. So he said, it was really easy for me because I walked in and grabbed a blue suit, got a tie and a white shirt, and walked out. He said, my wife is still looking 2 weeks later. Here's what I want you to see about this. This is so powerful because it's about priorities, it's about getting to that place to where you understand what God wants to do through you. So she goes to all these stores, she can't find anything. So one day she finally finds something in one of the really great places in Atlanta, expensive places. So she calls him and she says, I found the dress. And he said, I'm glad. And then she says, but the price is a little high. And he says, how high? And she says, it's $3,000. And after he gets off the floor, she said, "I'm just kidding." She said, "Oh, I want it so bad." But she said, "I could never buy it." And he said, "I could have afforded it. I could have bought it." But she said, "I could never do that," because she said, "Every time I look at that dress, all I see is those children in Rwanda who have nothing." All I can see is the people in Colorado where they're building houses. She said, "All I could see was that." She said, "So I went down the street and bought one at a store where I can actually put it on and wear it without feeling bad about that." But see, it's about priorities, isn't it? It's about coming to that place to where you really understand that we're in a season of favor. And I've told you all this. We're in a season of favor for a reason. We're in the Christmas season for a reason. It's not about just marketing, but it's about blessing people. That's what it's all about. It's about giving to people. You know, people call us all the time and want help with rent. They want help with utilities. They want groceries. They want food. They want help. Many of them don't even go to our church. And they're looking. They're desperate for help. But God wants you to move in a spirit of favor and operate from a place. Now, I want everybody to get this. From a place where you want to bless others. Does everybody get that? Where you can bless other people. Instead of wanting to get something from other people, you want to give something to other people. We were opening gifts for all the grandkids yesterday, and you know how this works in America. We only had like one for each child. And they have accustomed themselves to opening many gifts. You know how that is. In our country. So when we got through with the one, boy, they ripped that paper off there, opened it up. "That's great. Phew. Shove it over here." And then you have to go, "That's it." And they go, "That's it? That's it? That's all we get? That's all you get today. That's it." Well, they grabbed the one and started playing with them then. It was fine then, is when they realized that they weren't going to get anything else. I tell you what, God may not give you what you want, but He'll give you what you need. God will give you what you need if you will let Him do that in your life. Now, the second thing I want to say to you this morning is this right here. You've got to learn how to be a forward thinker and quit living in the past. Quit living in the past. Move forward. Begin to walk by faith and not by sight. Begin to see God the way that God sees you. Begin to see the power of God. Begin to see the presence of God. Begin to see that God has covered you with His blood. Understand the freedom that God has given you in this country. As we look at the remembrance of Pearl Harbor, what we're really looking at is the freedom that has been extended to us. It's powerful to know that God has given us freedom. But we got to learn how to think, forgetting those things which are behind, right? Be a forward thinker. Forget those things which are behind. Let the blood of Jesus cover everything today. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cover every sin today. Begin to confess everything to God. Favor produces joy and worship in your life. Man, that's what I see happening all the time. Favor begins to produce that in my life. As I begin to worship God, then favor begins to move in. And it really doesn't make any difference what I get or what I don't get. The important thing is that I'm learning to worship the Lord. So learn how to give this Christmas. Bobby and Amy shared a story with us yesterday about, you know, they're in North Carolina helping a family that's getting ready to go to Virginia to help all the flood victims. And this little girl, their little daughter, this little girl was she got so into this thing of helping the flood victims, helping the people in the Appalachians, that she started putting shoes together. And so she set a goal of 1,000 pair of shoes for kids. And her mom said, "Isn't that a little bit ambitious?" And the little girl said, "No, it's not. It's not." But she said, "If it'll help you, Mama, I'll do 500. At last count, the little girl had 1,300 pair of shoes headed to the Appalachians. How old is she? 7 years old. 1,300 pair of shoes going to the Abolitionists. But here's the thing that started the whole deal. Somebody gave her money to go buy her something at Walmart. So when she got to Walmart, she bought a pair of shoes for $10. She had $10, so she bought it. And everybody found out what she was doing, and everybody in the line started buying her shoes when they found out what she was going to do with the shoes. And so it just kind of went from there, and it began to circulate throughout the little town that they live in. And pretty soon we got 1,300 pair of shoes going to the Appalachians. Be a forward thinker. Think about what God wants you to do. What can you do in the next 20 days to change somebody's life? What can you do to touch somebody's life? Well, why is the gospel so important? Because, number one, we're not ashamed of it. What can we do to help others? And you know what? You don't have to wait on me to do it. Or you just go do it. Just begin to reach out and touch people with the favor that God has blessed you with in your life. Last thing is this right here. Be a bridge. Be a bridge. Be a bridge to the Lord. I was talking to Nathan the other day, and I said, you know what? This is going to be our theme in January and February, kind of an overall theme for the first quarter where we're going to be a bridge. And I kept seeing that big bridge, that lighted bridge that we used to have on our website, crossing from Memphis across the river, going over into West Arkansas. And it's a beautiful sight. Many of you probably seen that picture all throughout Memphis. But we're talking about the bridge here. And after Jesus was born, now watch this, the heavens began to open. Now, the entrance of the Spirit, get this now, begins to open the heavens. Come on, help me this morning. The entrance of the Spirit begins to open the heavens above you. It's like a newborn baby when their eyes are open, you know. That baby 3 or 4 months, you know, prior to that, they're seeing light and shadows. But then they begin to see figures. They begin to see people. The wise man really set out to find the star, to find the Savior. And to me, the star represents the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that when they saw the star, they rejoiced greatly. But watch this. They praised God. They rejoiced greatly when they saw the star. But when they got to where Jesus was at, in Bethlehem, when they walked in, they weren't rejoicing and praising God. They fell on their faces and began to worship the Savior. So let me tell you something. When you see Jesus begin to operate in your life and begin to move in your life, that's when you want to worship Him. That's when you want to give Him glory. That's when you want to give Him praise. The wise men came, and they were wise before they got there. They already had some knowledge. But all of a sudden, this wisdom and this revelation came on them when they saw Jesus, and something began to change in them. And they brought their gifts to the Lord. And that is symbolic today of us bringing our worship to God, but also giving our gifts to other people who are less fortunate than us. Amen. How many want to be that kind of bridge? You want to be that bridge? Would you stand with me today and let's be that bridge that God wants us to be to the world, to our world. Come on up, Chris. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do something different. Let this be a Christmas like no other Christmas that you have ever experienced. Get out of the routine. Look at your neighbor and say, get out of the routine.